Splish Splash.
Was that your go mark was Splish Splash?
Yeah, I really like in like military stuff where they like they're dropping a bomb and they go like 3, 2, 1, splash.
Sending it over.
Splash. That's them dropping a bomb or like mark. That's mark. Also great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm really big fan of that. I guess in general, I'm just a fan of shit military people say.
Fan of dropping bombs is what I heard.
Hey, hey, I'm not a fan of it.
Spoken like a true pro bomber, frankly.
Wow.
Oh, you have something in your hands and I nearly wanted you to do it. And he did it. Welcome back to Weebology, everybody. I am your, GI topsy-turvy Professor Ricky.
That's a disgusting way to intro yourself. I am your award-winning professor.
Yeah, and what award have you won lately?
I can't talk about it, obviously.
There's nothing obvious about...
You're right. I'm the number one spy in the CIA.
Never mind.
I have an award. It's over there.
I take back what I wanted to not take back.
Right.
You shouldn't have said that out loud.
Well,
you have a target on your back.
You really forced my hand.
I was not a lot of force.
He broke my arm. You guys saw it on the video.
If you want to know if that did break his arm or not, go ahead and watch the video on YouTube.
He broke my freaking arm.
Yeah. I'm GI topsy-turvy because people in the Discord may know. I've been eating pretty clean lately, but I decided yesterday, a poor decision, to eat an entire Papa John's stuffed crust pizza solo four time. I ate it swifter than any meal of a normal person would eat it.
I'm not going to lie to you. When homeboy showed up with a full ass pizza, I was like, is Ricky having people over?
Hold on.
Ricky having people over?
One, you are not incorrect in assuming that, and frankly I should have had people over, but nah. that was a family meal of one,
right?
That was a family meal of one. And number two, a little bone to pick, because Papa John's always fucking knocks on the door when they specifically get told don't do that, just leave it on the concrete like everyone does post COVID. Just put it on the ground.
I was like, who's this for?
Me, dude.
No, but I asked the guy and he was like, what? And I'm like, I didn't order it.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it was a bad decision. It was delicious, of course, but it was a bad decision. What do you think is the, in your opinion, for yourself, the best mainstream fast food pizza you can get?
Wow.
Who's the OG?
That is tough.
No, not even OG. Who's like at the pinnacle of your pyramid for pizza?
Yeah, so people aren't going to like this answer, but I did actually like Domino's pre-update. You know how they kind of like had
like cardboard era. Okay.
Like Wedgie's pizza was my shit.
Now hold on. Wedgie's is a very specific locale for us.
I know. I'm just saying it's very similar.
But Wedgie's was good. Like it still remains to be good. I personally, post revision Domino's, when they finally like came out and officially said like, hey, y'all, fun fact, we actually know our pizza sucks, so we're going to do something about it. We're actually making pizza now. Yeah, we're actually making real pizza now. I ate so much Domino's right after college that I got, like, a lifetime burnout card from Domino's. I'm just done with it.
I think certainly the most I've eaten of any would be Little Caesars, because we had one at downtown in university.
Oh, the hot and sweaties is what we used to call it.
And we literally like walked from like our freshman dorm to this place like easily three times a week. I mean, for $5, it honestly is like absurd deal.
You can't beat being able to feed potentially, even if it's just two of you.
It was one of us. We were absolutely slamming the gym.
I
was built different in freshman year.
You're also fueled different.
That's true.
That's what that was.
I always think about that. Like if I had just like eaten slightly good, I would have been unbelievably like cut.
Well, if you remember, there was that time and the little sliver in like college where I did have quite a bit of cut, and That was because all I was eating was like turkey sammies and cucumbers from the fucking like our dining hall, essentially. Yeah. So I hear you, but also I think back like the calories, what I know now, why wasn't I more cut? Oh, an absurd amount of alcohol, liters of literal liters of alcohol.
I think my biggest problem was like Monster energy drinks and stuff like that.
But those famously don't have a lot of sugar. There's like calorie light. If maybe Monster, like OG Monster, maybe.
Yeah,
but if you
think there's like 260 calories per.
Jesus Christ.
And it's all
sugar.
I
only ever drink those lemonade ones, the rehab ones. They have like 10 calories.
Well, I've never had a rehab one, so
yeah,
I was definitely an original.
You're an OG guy.
Yeah.
The pure, the best, and the rest can kind of go take a fucking back seat. But speaking of the best.
In awards.
Who reigns supreme? We had a little idea that at time of recording yesterday, actually 2 days ago now, the votes for a certain award show had commenced. It was done. All of the people's opinions
and
were locked.
And by commenced, he meant ended.
Yes, it commenced. The voting had done. Oh yeah.
Commenced would mean starting.
Commenced does mean start. Yeah. I'm going to edit this out so it doesn't fucking matter. But what it does mean is that the votes are in. Everything is locked in.
The votes are freaking in, folks.
The votes are freaking in for the Crunchyroll Anime Awards 2024. Now, what we're going to do is go through the nominations, and we're going to give a little bit of our own wrinkles to see who we feel should be winning, or in our opinion, at least, should be winning each category. And on top of that, our overall thoughts on the process, and that's kind of what I want to open with first. Because
even before that, you see that Megan Thee Stallion was like a presenter for this?
I did see that.
What the hell are these guys smoking?
I don't know. I was like, why her?
It reminds me so much of, I used to every year go to the grand finals of the Overwatch League. Like grand finals.
Okay.
The first one ever.
I remember you doing that, yeah.
Was in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. So like a massive arena. And for whatever freaking reason, they for halftime brought out DJ Khaled, who famously does not have songs that he actually sings. He just says.
He's a producer.
Right.
Yeah.
All he says is like, all I do is win. He does say DJ Khaled quite a few times.
Famously, he has said, what's the quote exactly? Another one?
Yeah, that one a
lot.
That
one, yeah.
And so he was just like, he was like expecting this room full of freaking nerds to like love the hip hop music that he's like semi involved in. And it was the quietest I've ever seen like a full blown quote unquote concert with like a shitload of people at it.
That's the funniest thing for me is that some of the people who organize, like they're not reading a room that they don't have to be in or like have it happening right now to know how to read that room. Right. Like it's the Overwatch grand final. And you're going to go ahead and like, okay, who do we want to have for this? Kataboom? The one who do Naruto OPs?
Well, it's just
or
like
DJ Khaled?
I was sitting next to my Korean friend and it's like, he's not heard of DJ Khaled really.
So
you
funny.
You know what I mean?
So funny.
I had friends from Montreal, like a little bit down there. They also don't give a shit about DJ Khaled. I mean, it was just like the most, I thought, brain dead solution. Like maybe he was the only one that was available and like in Brooklyn for whatever reason.
I think it was a schedule lineup for sure.
That's what I think. And then the other person that's on there is Lisa, who I actually think is gonna bang on this.
I don't know who Lisa is.
She's like an incredible Japanese like musical artist.
Well, there you fucking go.
Absolutely.
I don't even
her
have
songs.
Okay, I must have.
Geringe.
Here we are. Yes, 100%. Right.
Incredible.
So that's all I'm saying, right? That's a hit. That's a win. What the fuck are they doing with, I don't know. It's okay. Megan Thee Stallion.
If she's a big anime fan, then I don't know about
that. I was
going to
bring
that totally
up.
Fine.
That is the unknown element. I don't know enough about Megan Thee Stallion to know if she is or is not. And
I think that would be cool.
That'd be
it
sick.
It wouldn't necessarily surprise me. For some reason, the African-American community does seem to really enjoy anime.
What do we watch? Like Codename Super, I'm Kevin, just like do right. Like hood reviews of certain fights in anime? and they're hilariously fun.
I don't know why it's like very prevalent, but it is.
That should be another episode, but we'll put a pin in that.
I think there's probably some potential concerns there with us diving too deep into that, so I'm not super on board.
We'll workshop that, because I think it is, there's some interesting exploration to be done there. But we're exploring this right now. Before we get into each individual categories, we're going to work from the bottom up, starting with like the voice acting nominations, and then work all the way up to anime of the year. I decided to do a little bit of digging because there's a couple overall comments I have with what I noticed from the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. And I think this is the first time we're actually doing this. So it's the first time I gave this, you know, award show this much attention personally. So I was thinking to myself, the first thing I noticed, we're going to see like the same 8 to 11 anime on rotation for like, three out of four of these awards, so 75%, are going to have some component or the majority of the nominations be the same anime. And I'm like, that feels really odd. And obviously because there are some that are a cut above the rest, then that's fair. But I wanted to kind of like dive into like, how do they decide? Like, how did this get chosen, honestly? They have a frequently asked questions section on Crunchyroll.com. And if you go there, it literally has a section called how it works. And there's background and logistics, voting process. And if you select how were the six nominees for a given round selected, and it says our panel of judges made up of industry veterans and anime content creators determine them. In the first round of voting, each judge submits up to five eligible candidates per category using a password protected encrypted digital ballot, and the six candidates mentioned the most became the number one like nominees for a given round. So basically what happens is everyone submits their five, and then they get ranked by how often those were mentioned, and then in the top six they get thrown in.
Right. And there was quite a few judges. I mean, they're all listed on here, like their entire, like really their bona fides, as they say, are listed. And I think there's, you know, some interesting people there. There's also just people that are like sort of in the industry.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's an interesting way to kind of do this, like take a, just like a kind of a cross section out of people who clearly care about it enough to try to work in the industry. And so that's pretty interesting.
I think I find it personally interesting that you have things like so institutionally established, like the Oscars, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, and these huge, more bigger Western award shows that happen every year, to the point where people, they make collections on streaming sites to, hey, these are all the nominated like pieces of art, you should go view them. But the one thing that always kind of struck me about those things is that, you know, those the kind of cliche with like the speeches, like I'd like to thank the Academy.
You're right.
So I'm like, okay, at some point a long time ago, I looked at what the fuck is the Academy? And it is kind of what they mentioned here, is that it's industry veterans that have been invited to be part of a panel to make a decision about the artistic integrity and the artistic quality of a given, you know, TV show, whatever the award show is for, right? Like movies, TV shows, music, stuff like that. With anime, though, it has content creators baked in, which I find very interesting because they are individuals who, profit's the wrong word, but part of their livelihood is the engagement of this content, not its creation. I wonder how that differs from, quote unquote, the Academy. You know, are they all people who have been in the creation side, whereas you have others in here who have a huge sway on this, but they're more, their livelihood was never the creation, it was the engagement element.
Yeah, so it's not like, there's not like people that I think you'd be necessarily familiar with.
Sure.
As far as like content creation, there is like animators, right?
Yeah.
And so while you do know plenty of animators, there's like, I'll just read off some of their like bona fides. I'm not going to name them because there's a list of them anyway.
Sure.
Passionate pop culture journalist. Sci-Fi Now's resident anime expert. Creator and founder of cinemacomics.com. Anime connoisseur. That is literally just his bona fides.
Just anime connoisseur, yeah.
Podcast co-host and writer. Editor-in-chief of Otaku Bunka. Anime journalist, critic, and podcast host. Streaming journalist, Alocine. I mean, we honestly could have been on this list.
I was
going
to say, are you a little bitter that after reading that, they didn't call us?
Like,
at this point, you know?
I mean, we probably could have reached out, and it doesn't seem like you frankly, need to be that like, good at this to right, be on the list.
Yeah. The irony here is that anyone listening to this right now, if you didn't recognize a name or a publication on that list, we're more popular to you than them. Because you know our names, you know this show, you know this lab.
I will say this guy hosts Anime World Order podcast. Everybody
now that's different. Yeah, clearly there's a bit of variance in the influence in this group, which makes me beg the question to you: what do you think this is? If this anime awards show, this is the 7th year it's been around. Say in 50 years, will we have an Anime Academy equivalent?
I think this is it.
Are you sure? Because I don't know what the Academy. I feel like there's some.
I don't know why you just asked me like that. That was like the most. I'm emotionally charged with. Are you sure, idiot?
Dude, are you fucking?
You're
like,
such a dumb
are
moron.
Are you sure you want to say that to the world, dude?
I do. I don't know who else is going to organize something like this.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that the Academy. Maybe, and it's maybe my ignorance speaking.
It is.
Sure.
I got you, bitch. Yeah, I got you back, ho.
But I feel as though those individuals that are part of the Academy get to be part of that after some way more exponentially more rigorous process than this group was brought in. Not that their input is not valid, but the rigor by which it is judged who should or should not be part of the judging group.
Yeah,
I think there's clearly a difference here, you know.
I don't actually agree with you. So here's what I think is the difference. In the 1900s or whatever the Academy Awards actually started.
Yeah.
Like you just had to be stupid rich or like stupid famous.
You pay your way in essentially,
right?
Yeah.
This is sort of a different situation because it is from like essentially the internet outward, right? And what I mean by that is, like, anime is a very, let's just say if, like, the internet did not exist, it probably wouldn't have made it out of Japan.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's long term, right?
That's totally fair,
like,
yeah.
Think about, Cartoon Network, even programming and stuff like that. I don't know they pick it up if there's no, like, way to even find out about it, really. Yeah. My other, like, rebuttal would be, look at the streaming awards. Like streamings for all this, the shows that get streamed, but also for like Twitch streamers, like that didn't exist more than 15 years ago. But now you would say that that's fairly like that exists. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think it's a product of like something sort of becoming mainstream that wasn't in the past. And what I meant is like Crunchyroll took that first movers approach with a lot of money behind it and a lot of name recognition, and they've taken up the mantle of like being the Academy, quote unquote. Now how movies and shit are picked are probably as obscure people, critics and shit probably choose what's in the Academy Awards, and we just don't know that, right?
Right. Right.
So like. There's a lot of horrible movies that win, like, Oscars.
Oh, yeah. And I think what I was getting at more, so what you're saying is because an award show of this nature in this medium is so new, the chosen panel of who judges kind of maybe might reflect, right? Because it's so new, what pool do they exactly have to pull from?
Well,
right
I mean, there's,
now?
Like, there's not actual professors of anime at, like, Yale.
Well, because they won't respond to our emails. That's why.
I wouldn't work at Yale.
I try emailing them. Like,
right.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
just saying I refuse to work at Yale. They've asked me many times.
Are you They asked you many times?
Yeah.
I only get shit back from Dartmouth. Fuck, dude. I mean, Yale.
It's Ivy.
It's Ivy, sure. But
it's
come
all
on,
Ivy,
man.
Baby. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, like, Cornell won't stop. They won't shut up about this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't want to move to Ithaca.
That's fair. That is really fair. They did Well, Dartmouth did promise me remote, actually.
Oh, that's pretty fire.
Yeah. They're really thirsty. That's why I'm kind of just letting them coast for a bit.
Right, of course.
They keep bumping that pay up, though. Like,
yeah, I mean, I would just not mention anything until it hits, you know, I mean, like, it's already at 400K, but
yeah, it is a bad amount of
money.
If
it gets
to
like 1.2, I think you probably should just say yes, and then just maybe, what do they call that? Quiet quit?
That's definitely a quiet quit kind of vibe there. Yeah, they even like offered tenure up front, which was
crazy.
What's
the signing bonus? That's what I want to know.
The signing bonus was tenure, like immediate tenure, right?
Okay.
And they even told me I had to write no papers a year.
That's incredible.
They just let me sit there and just do my thing.
Just
stew. Yeah, just absolutely based. Like, it's crazy.
Based prof, Rick.
Yeah. But we'll get back to the Dartmouth shit later. But I will say that...
We will not.
We might. The idea of it all being like...
We won't.
We might, dude.
No. I mean,
not this episode, but maybe the next episode.
Okay.
We're giving them the 1.2 update. But I found it interesting that the idea of this being a young award show for a medium that is getting insane year over year more international traction, I was curious about how that might look 50 years time from now. And I was wondering, do we feel that those that were chosen was due to more of a community zeitgeist recency bias or maybe some stuff like that, or there is like some behind the scenes rubric for a maybe level of objective
community
artistry.
Zeitgeist.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's community zeitgeist right now. And I think we'll maybe over time we'll see like there might be an objective rubric of artistry that could come out and be like, this is what we're actively looking for.
I don't see that as being a possibility because Crunchyroll is such a customer facing company. It would not make sense to be like, who's got the best like scenes per, you know, 5 minutes or whatever.
I don't know how this is gonna look in a couple decades.
Who's technically panning correctly?
I mean, shit, dude, like,
it's not happening.
We'll see. I think you're probably right, and there's gonna be a lot of holdout of that.
I just also think you don't want to be that community that's that fucking like gatekeepy and nitpicky, in my opinion.
I think in the modern era, a lot of anime community circles are trying to undo that because that it was that for a while.
Right.
Like, we talked about this before.
I just don't think that that's the direction you would want to head. You'd want it to be more like available to everybody.
Right. And I think that is a conversation for when we are very old and playing PS12s in the retirement home. If
I ain't buying a PS12. You out of your damn mind.
The retirement home will just have them.
Oh, right.
Right. It's an amenity at that point. You know, food, water, beds, Wi-Fi, and PS12s.
Of course.
Like, classic. I think the interesting philosophical question of judging media like this in an award show is something like the Academy a natural evolution? Because of history and pedigree, when we're at the 57th anime awards, will it just that's where all these award shows naturally gravitate towards like kind of the pretension? Or can anime as a whole entire space not have that happen? But if you look on the same website right underneath it, how was eligibility determined? They have a set of rules for what can be in the anime awards. If they meet the following requirements, one, I consider an animated series. Duh. Here we are. Two, primary production occurred in Japan. Interestingly said primary. Curious. C, one episode aired on television or online in Japan between October 2022 and September 2023, at least in part. D, at least one episode had its initial legal distribution outside of Japan in 2022 or 2023. That last one is very fascinating. That it had international distribution, legal distribution outside of Japan was a requirement for the anime awards.
I think that that is potentially a strong arm technique to get them to license to Crunchyroll.
Exact. Just what I was going to say, that you
literally. And that's just from a genius business mind. I don't know, you know.
To be part of this award show, you must
not
have,
be. You must say yes to our contract, you sluts.
Doesn't have to be us. You could go high dive. You can go funny. But we're the, we're the ones making the rules here.
It's just that I sort of have an award show and they don't.
And sort of, if you want to be sort of part of it, you just have to sort of give us your soul, maybe? Like, no biggie?
I don't think that the deals are non-lucrative is all I can say.
Oh, they're quite.
I don't think that they fuck these guys on this deal. All right, we'll do the whole thing for $20.
This, maybe not a strong arm. This is very much a subtle tactical nudge in
yes,
the direction
I concur
of,
with
of
you.
Crunchyroll. So I found that quite interesting. But here we are.
Are we moving the fuck on?
We're moving the fuck on.
Let's go.
Dude. Okay. We are here. We are going to start with the bottom of the list categories. You can follow along on crunchyroll.com. They have an Anime Awards 2024 nomination list where each category has 6 nominations. We will take turns reading who's part of what. We'll kind of rapid fire who we would like to think is our personal pick in each. And if it's closer than we think, maybe we'll get some discussion out of
go,
it.
Go, 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 go.
Okay, fine. You can start first because this is the English one because you're the dub boy.
Yes. Best voice artist performance English.
Yeah.
Number one, Abby Trott for Nezuko.
Nezuko-chan. And Demon Slayer.
Which is funny because she honestly says so few words that
that's
it's ridiculous.
That's what I found so funny
Second
about this.
Second one, Austin Tindall for Millions Knives. Trigun Stampede.
Honestly, really
the god
good.
Of all creation, Johnny Young Bosch for Ichigo yep. Kurosaki. We've got Lexi Naito for Tomo Aizawa from Tomo-chan is a Girl.
Yep.
We've got Marissa Duran from Sagiri Yamada Asemon. Hell's Paradise. That was her character.
Yep.
Ryan Colt Levy for Denji in Chainsaw Man.
So, Nezuko is immediately somehow both out and in because, like, Nezuko is very cute. But to your point, she says literally no words. I think
until the last episode.
To the last episode, I think yes. But when she finally gets to be graced by the sun once again, spoilers. Fuck, maybe I have to remove that. But
if you haven't watched by now, I mean,
sure, right. And I won't tell you how she got there. Ooh, or whatever. we know the answer to this one though, right?
Yeah, JYB.
Yeah, JYB. The like Johnny Young Bosch.
There hasn't been an easier question I've potentially ever answered.
Yeah, right. And I mean the fact that. One, this is what he got submitted for. I'm pretty sure he did Stampede, right?
Yeah, I'm not positive, but I do believe he was also Vash.
Yes, because he famously was Vash in the OG, considered one of the best in modern era.
Right, so I do feel like he could win for multiple things here, and that's why they threw Knives on there, even though, like, let's be real, not that important of a character compared to Vash.
Still a really good...
It was good.
I did listen to some of that, and but it's no Johnny.
I mean, we watched the whole show. So.
We did. Go listen to that episode, by the way.
All right, moving on.
Yep. Best voice artist performance, Japanese. Atsumi Tanizaki, Anya from Spy X Family. God, she's very good. I'm not even going to try to read the names out because these are very complicated. But Denji, Chainsaw Man, Monkey D. Luffy. This one deserves it. Mayumi Tanaka. Monkey D. Luffy in One Piece. Bocchi, Hitori from Bocchi the Rock. Eren from Attack on Titan, final season, the final chapters, special one, the Redux, side B, part 12. I don't know. And Satoru Gojo in Jujutsu Kaisen season 2. This one's a little tighter.
It is, but I do have an answer.
Okay, what you think?
So, I am not a massive fan of grown women using baby voice. So Anya is off the list for me.
I think we've said this is...
If we're going to talk about icks, that's one of them.
That makes you it, the ick?
Yeah, I'm really uncomfortable with that.
That's completely uncomfy. I think that we are allowed to do this and knock her off this list because we have said in the past that Anya started out very cute, but it got very old very fucking fast.
Right.
So Anya, to me, is out. I think Denji did a really good job, was really well done. And I don't know. I think at the end of the day, for me, I think Hitori Bocchi, that character was so well voice acted because of the range. There was a lot of moments of complete social anxiety sincerity, but then she had to also vocalize her inner monologue. So there'd be moments where within the same scene, it would go from completely like, you know, socially awkward to this bombastic, like,
right.
back and forth. So that's where
there is definitely a lot of vocal range in that role.
Yeah. So I'm personally going to say Bocchi the Rock should win for Bocchi.
And obviously, Monkey D. Luffy has more vocal range shown than anyone else. But I mean, over 1,000+ episodes, what else are you supposed to do? But I do think she's appropriating the man's role in that one. So I feel pretty.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to really throw a couple like really controversial things just to keep people interested.
Yeah, that's the best part. If you still have a positive opinion of our outlook on very like controversial issues, that means you didn't listen. That means you didn't listen to the episode, and we'll know because you won't bring it up in the Discord, patreon.com/ebology. Boom. That's checkmate.
Yeah, so
dude.
My answer is actually going to be Satoru Gojo.
Honestly, that was my number two.
Now, if it was the other guy, I forget his name, the one with the
Geto.
No,
Gojo.
The guy with the tie.
Oh, Nazumi?
I don't remember his name, but his voice is easily the best anime voice of all
fucking
time.
Fucking haunting. So
right?
good.
yeah. Because I think he's also in Chainsaw Man as the old guy
yep.
who like trains him.
Yep.
I would choose that guy's voice over any of these other ones, but I do think Gojo's voice is like so like chill, but also has like a really strong undercurrent, right? Like, you know, this guy could fuck your shit up, but he's also kind of nice about it.
Yeah, right. He's kind of chill about that, but you don't want to hear him actually, like, act, you know. I'm sorry. I was just looking up the Nanami. Nanami is the guy. Yeah.
Nanami daddy.
Mm-hmm. So, you're up next, buddy. Best ending sequence.
Best ending sequence. Now, this is important to realize that this is not just the song. This also includes all the animation underneath.
Yes, there is later categories up top, talks about best overall score and best individual anime song, but these are more for the visual and audio components combined. So,
right. Akari by Soshi Sakayama for Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2.
Okay.
Happiness of the Dead, Shiyui from Zom 100. Hawatari Nyoku Senti, or 200 million centimeter long blades by Maximum the Hormone for
okay.
Chainsaw Man.
Okay.
Koi Kogare from Millet X Man with a Mission for Demon Slayer Swordsmith Village. Mephisto, Queen Bee is the band, for
yep.
Oshi no Ko. And then Color, Yama for Spy X Family Season 1.
Okay.
Core
so
two.
I watched all of these because I hadn't seen all of them. And famously, I will skip the ED after seeing it at least once first. My gut before I watched them all was JJK Season 2, Akari by Soshi Sakayama. But after watching all of them, Mephisto Queen Bee might take it from me. Oshinoko, dude, has fire music. Like, unbelievable fire music. And, like, the visuals, I think were clean, but they weren't exemplary for me. But I think the overall package, that ED was fire. So that's going to be my pick.
Very interesting. I did not expect that. That came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this came down to two.
Okay.
Color, Yama.
Okay.
Spy Family. Just because everything fits so perfectly. In the actual like animation song, blah 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 blah.
That is
very
part
catchy.
Of it too, how well you can sync both of those things up together. Yeah.
And then also the 200 million centimeter long blades from Chainsaw Man, which I famously did not enjoy the show.
That you didn't. You did not.
Right.
We
but,
still fight about this on the daily before, you know, night falls, but it's fine. I'm not bringing this
Well, okay. Night has fallen, so shut up bitter. About it.
when the camera turns off, dude, you're so
but
done,
I do think actually that's going to win it for me in this category just because it's like it's so different from a typical ED.
It was
typical EDs are like, so they're always the chill version, yeah. Like the chill of the two songs.
But
and this one just goes of balls to the walls, screamo, like crazy shit's happening on the screen the whole time. It's great stuff.
So did you watch, fun fact, one, this particular one did take my number two. But did you watch all the EDs of Chainsaw Man?
No.
They were all different.
Okay.
Every single one was different. And
that's
it's
fine.
It's insane how much like work went into that. They did not have to do that. But every single one was different. And it was fucking fascinating. But this one was kind of like above the rest. So that was my number two. So I do agree with your pick. I can stand by that.
Not a fan of Color Yama. Interesting.
It was good. I mean, it was clearly, it's one of the best of the year, according to the Academy.
Good point. Moving yeah. on.
Yep. Best opening sequence, best OP is Idol Yoasobi by, you know, in Oshinoko. Innocent Arrogance, Bish, Heavenly Delusion.
Love the band name.
Yep, right, Bish. Kickback, Kenji Yonzu, Chainsaw Man. Fucking classic. Song of the Dead, Kana Boom, one of my favorite bands, at least in that space, Zom 100, bucket list of the dead. Where Our Blue Is, Tatsuya Kitani is a JJK season 2, and Work in Hell's Paradise, Ringo, Sheena, and Millennium Parade.
So this was harder than I was expecting initially.
This is a really close one.
But I will actually pick Song of the Dead with you. Unless you're changing literally out of the blue.
I didn't tell you that was mine.
I think you did.
I said that like that was like, it's such a banger, but like.
I'm like 99% sure you did tell me you were picking that. So if you're not, this could be an absolute mess.
No. When I walked downstairs, I said, I forgot how good JJK season 2 first OP was.
Okay.
That was Where Our Blue Is. And I nearly am about to pick Idol as well from Oshinoko. But I think it's going to remain Kickback, Chainsaw Man for me, only because it hit an extra check mark I didn't expect to be there.
Yeah, so for me, all the top four easily I could have chosen. Yes, I could have chosen yeah. Idol, I could have chosen Innocent Arrogance,
Innocent
Kickback,
Arrogance, so
or
good.
Song of the Dead.
Yeah.
What ticked it over the edge was Song of the Dead, they're literally like, it's like the rotoscope of what's her name? Chia or whatever. From,
Love is War. Yeah.
Like that scene where she's like dancing to the song.
The cheeky dance, yeah.
Right? That matched up exactly like with what they're doing in the like, they're dancing. It's sort of like a perfect, in my opinion, like coalesced pearl of the show. They're like dancing their way through this like apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's
right,
also
right.
got like a lot of scenes in there that I think are really interesting. It's like they're on the train and all the zombies are on their phones and he's not.
There's that cut where they have like zombies intermixed with like the famous evolutionary line
right.
of like walking. So it's like man evolved from ape and then after man it's zombie. And
I just think that they're
walking.
Trying to they're saying some shit there that maybe you didn't get from a lot of these other OPs.
I think that is the third checkbox, and I think it's well, technically, it's a fourth. Visual, duh. Audio, duh. I think cohesiveness in telling you bits of the story and the show's vibe without giving too much away. Both, I think, Chainsaw Man and Song of the Dead do, or Zom 100 do so well. But Chainsaw Man's Kickback, there are so many classic movie references in that OP that is a tribute to the mangaka, who is a huge, like, cinema buff.
Yeah, okay, I can agree with you on that.
Yeah.
It's a solid second.
That's for me. That's what tipped it. I'm like, okay, there's a lot of love put into research for that. So that's mine over there.
Cool. Best score.
Yeah.
Attack on Titan Final Season, Bocchi the Rock, Chainsaw Man, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Oshinoko, and Suzume. So did you ever watch Suzume?
No, I had to do a little
Neither
research.
Did
yeah,
I.
I had to do a little research. Suzume... I need to go ahead and we need to watch it and maybe do a review of it because it hits this list a couple times.
It's definitely a possibility. I'm going to go with, this is actually a hard one for me because I do not really consider songs as they come up in shows typically.
Ooh, I do.
Unless I realize, like, I notice that the entire show, like, ripped.
Yeah, okay.
That's fair like enough. A different scenario.
Sure.
But I do not feel like any of these were just like, oh, all of these bang hard. So I guess I'm going to go with Oshinoko just because I know the first song and the last song are really good. And it's all about like singing and like shit. So I figure it's probably pretty good.
I think for me, the way Oshinoko was going to be after I had listened to all of these soundtracks while I was working all day today. Boshi the Rock just barely eclipses. But we're talking splitting hairs, I think. Because of the entry, well, both shows, music is a central core part of the show. Boshi the Rock, I think just like, it comes down to like personal subjectivity. I think either one could have won for me. So, now, best anime song is very similar to the OP category, just because by sheer nature, right? Now, but we're judging it sheerly on the song itself. There are two new entries. One is literally Suzume, self-titled Suzume from
it's called Rad Wimps is the song's title.
Rad Wimps?
Wimps.
Oh, I thought that that was the band because it said Rad Wimps featuring Toaka. That's the band name.
Oh, yeah.
So it's sorry. Like Suzume. No, you're good. Suzume from Suzume. And then there's Sisyon Complex by Katsoku Band, Boshi the Rock. Now, that one's quite interesting because Katsoku Band was made specifically to play the music for Boshi the Rock.
Right.
Which is really kind of fascinating. And the song was an absolute clapper, but...
I thought it was okay. My two favorites by a mile are Idol and Kickback. My third would be the Suzume song.
I'll tell you exactly who mine is going to be.
Okay.
Idol. As purely as a song, Idol fucking slaps.
Yeah, it does slap for sure, but Kickback also slaps.
It really does.
And it fits the show really well.
But we're just judging the song, though, at this point. It's not the show.
But
yeah.
I watched the like official music video.
It's really good.
And it fit what Denji's deal was.
Right.
So that's like extra in my point. That's extra points.
Because it is an anime song.
I will pick Idol, though. Moving on.
Boom, let's go. All right, you get to do it. Must protect.
Yeah, the quote-unquote must protect at all costs character. This is my least favorite category so far.
What? What do you mean? It's so cute. You love these characters.
I'm just
these
not this
favorite.
Kind of person. I'm not a protect at all costs kind of person.
I'm a little bit of that person.
First, we have Anya Forger. That's a no from me. Hitori Goto. That's a possible. Got Boji from Ranking of Kings.
Let's go.
We have Miri Unasaka from Buddy Daddies.
Did you watch Buddy Daddies?
I super didn't.
I super did. And it's got that energy for sure.
Okay.
They're Buddy Daddies, and Miri is, you know, one of their kids.
Yeah, so, I did like, put that together. Yeah. Pochita from Chainsaw Man. And Suleta Mercury from Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury. So I'm not a huge fan of kids in anime. We know this. This is not like a surprise, I think, for anybody.
There's literally recorded quote of you like, we need to be killing more children in anime.
I mean, that's just true. I'm going to go with Pochita because Pochita could kill more children in anime with his chainsaw face.
So he could probably, if you were to battle royale the must protect at all cost characters, Pochita would. Well, Pochita might win for most, but my vote is Boji from Ranking of Kings. Protect this man.
So I do like him.
Protect this boy.
But I want him to grow up to be a strong man. I don't want everyone have to like...
This is why I protect. I protect unnecessary. So he further attack.
He's going to become strong man.
Before he becomes strong man, he must be protected man.
I understand that, but even by the end of the first season, he was pretty strong. So I've kind of like changed my opinion. I would have picked him.
Yeah.
Because I do think it is, you know, with a disability, it's not exactly like his fault.
Right. That's the thing is I wanted to say Hitori, but I'm like also weirdly have the same energy you have with Boji. Like, I don't want to protect her. I want her to go out there and be socially awkward.
Rip it the fuck up.
And so she can rip, dude. Right. She can rip and riff. So my vote is Boji. He's a good boy. He's a great lad. Okay.
I'm picking the little chainsaw dog.
Little chainsaw dog, dude. Next category, best supporting character. We have Reagan from Mob Psycho 103. It comes up a couple times, but I completely forgot that the third and final part was in this year. Or at least I think it was fall of last year, but neither here nor there. Reagan, best supporting character. And then we have Hanji Zo from Attack on Titan, final season, whatever. Kana Armia, Arima from Oshinoko. We have Power from Chainsaw Man. We have two entries from JJK. One, Satoru Gojo, and one, Suguru Geto from the same show. Interesting. I do think the bottom two is kind of a power play, but I know my answer immediately, dude.
Mine's Powie.
And that's my number two. That's a fair get. Mine is Reagan. Easy.
Right.
Best supporting character that ever be made.
Okay.
Yep. Nope. Yep. Ever.
You're such a homer for that show. It's crazy.
I am, dude. I am so a stan for Mob.
It's
I don't
fine.
Care.
It's totally fine.
Yep.
Mine was Power, just so everyone knows what Powie means. So best main character, Bocchi, right. Hitori Goto, Denji from Chainsaw Man, Eren Yeager from Attack on Titan Part 2, Part 6, Final Chapters, Special 1, 5,
the
25.
Redux. Yeah.
Mob from Shigeo Kageyama, Mob Psycho 100, Monkey D. Luffy from One Piece. That is a really hard one to throw in there.
Damn.
And then Thorfinn, Vinland Saga Season 2.
This one was tough for me, man. And it's not gonna be Mob.
Yeah, my answer is Monkey D. Luffy. The rest are really irrelevant. I don't think that it should be allowed to put Monkey D. Luffy and like those guys into these characters with like seasonals. It just does not... It's not fair.
There is so much more that this main character has done than any of these.
And he means more to more people by like an infinite amount. I think they've sold more One Piece mangas than like almost any book ever.
Yeah. So it's a bit unfair to put Monkey D. Luffy. So personally, as someone who really gave it a college try and then stopped completely of getting through further, and I know I will come back to it at some point. We'll see. But for me, in this list, it might have to be Hitori. I think Bocchi from Bocchi the Rock is one of the most endearing characters I saw this year, supporting or otherwise. So MC, for me, gotta be Bocchi.
Look, in my opinion, if Thorfinn was still a thug like he used to be, I would choose him. But now he's a little puss boy, farmer loser.
I think he is a complex main character.
Snooze.
Yeah, I think when we get the full kind of appreciation.
I couldn't care less. I'm a Viking fan. I don't want to watch you farm.
You don't want to watch him farm. You want to watch him split skulls, dude.
Or like he like voluntarily becomes a slave or whatever. And it's like, bruh, you could fuck everybody's face up in this entire like little area. Why are you doing this? You baby bitch.
You fucking baby boy. All right. My turn, best slice of life category. We got, once again, you're going to hear a lot of repeats because we're getting like more of the bigger categories and they're going to slap it together. The same fucking 11 shows. Best slice of life category, Bocchi the Rock, Do It Yourself, Horimiya, specifically the missing pieces. Insomniac's After School, My Love Story with Yamada-kun at level 999, and Skip and Loafer. How many of these do you actually watch, my guy?
Two. This is tough.
I've watched 1, 2, 3.5. I started my love story and kind of stopped for
3.5.
So I watched Insomniacs After School. I said in Discord, I finished that actually.
Oh, wow.
Horimiya, The Missing Pieces. Watch that. I'm going to go ahead and call this Horimiya.
Same.
Yeah.
It's just like the show is so fucking good. It's hard to like really.
I think there is another category that I'll put that one in. But for me, honestly, Insomniacs After School, for slice of life, it was a slice that I think is not commonly explored. Two Insomniacs just getting to just be by themselves in the middle of like a midnight street in like Tokyo.
Kind
of
seems like me. I'll like it.
It's like if a lo-fi hip-hop stream visuals became a show.
That's pretty lit.
It's very, very cozy.
Honestly, I'll probably watch that now that you've given it such a glowing review.
Oh, dude, if you need to just like bundle up, cup of hot liquid. I don't know what you drink at night, but like fucking watch it, dude.
Couple hot milk.
just a microwave mug of just like whole ass milk.
A gallon of mulled wine.
Ethan, did you microwave the entire gallon? Like, the whole thing?
Oops, I left it in there. My bad.
That's been on for 7 minutes, dude. Best slice of life. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Horimiya, but I do think that I want to watch Insomniacs after school. I thought about watching My Love Story Yamada-kun.
I remember you mentioning that you were going to give it a peek. I don't know if that ever happened.
I gave it a peek.
An absolute tiny. Yeah, I gave it half of it. It was good. It was fun. Definitely unique, but I just think that there are much more quality entries in this.
Yeah, I do think Bocchi the Rock is going to struggle with me because it was so, so long ago that I kind of don't recall any of the like really fun artistry. Like, to me, it still feels like a worse Azekin. But I did think that Azekin was probably like, I can't remember what I rated it, but like number two of that year.
I gave Hitori the best MC, and I feel like I wanted to diversify my picks. And I do think when we're talking about slice of life, I've said this on the show, whatever slice you show is actually an element of how good. Are you showing a slice that a lot of people are not commonly let into? And the idea of two Insomniacs, when everyone else is not experiencing that slice of life, but you get to see an entry and a really kind of fun budding relationship, genuine relationship between two people that do forcibly have to experience that slice of the life.
Yeah, I really like that as a sell. So, okay, next category, best drama.
Ooh.
You've got Attack on Titan 6000, Heavenly Delusion, My Happy Marriage, Oshinoko, To Your Eternity Season 2, and then Vinland Saga Season 2.
Yeah. Personally, I'm going to go ahead and pick Heavenly Delusion.
So am I. Yeah. That's funny.
Heavenly Delusion, it was incredibly dramatic. It was very tense. And it was not something completely revolutionary, but repackaged things we've seen in like Promised Neverland, Made in Abyss, this very fantastical but very high stakes world that is the drama writes itself in a setting like that. So I think that they really built something special with that show. Okay. Best fantasy, Demon Slayer, Swordsmith Village Arc, Hell's Paradise, Mashle, Magic and Muscles, Mushoku Tensei, Jobness Reincarnation Season 2, Ranking of Kings, don't start. Don't fucking start. And The Ancient Magus' Bride Season 2. It's jobless for me, man. Like, actually,
you can just stop there. That's fine. Hell's Paradise for me, dude.
I was going to say Hell's Paradise actually was really strong because it generated a very interesting fantasy world that like was based in not just a lot of Japanese folklore, but the concept of like world religions are involved here. So they had a really interesting merging with real life, but I don't know. Jobless, it knows how to fucking build a world, man. Like, it's so good.
Snooze.
Too bad. All right. Well, that's my pick. Best action. Attack on Titan. The final chapters, whatever. Bleach. Thousand Year Blood War. The Separation. Chainsaw Man. Demon Slayer. Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 and One Piece. You know, it's a lot. It's funny because there's a lot. We've been talking about our favorites, and JJK got an honorable mention. Personally, if we're just going to talk about action, JJK for me is tops as fuck.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say. Is like for me, I'm not considering the full season. I'm just considering the like actual action involved.
Yeah. This is purely the fights. Yeah.
And I'm aware that that's probably not what's happening here, but if they wanted it to be in the running for best anime period, that'd be a full season scenario.
You got to evaluate. Oh yeah. Right. Best anime of the year. You got to evaluate every aspect. This is a very individual.
So
concept.
There is obviously glimpses of just absolute godliness on Bleach as well.
Yeah.
I mean, just seeing like, first of all, Genryusai Yamamoto having his like time in the light. Then you got to see Ichigo run a couple fades, which I thought was pretty lit.
Yeah.
But really in the Shibuya arc, it's just like nonstop fade running.
Because I thought Bleach should be like, why wasn't Bleach mine? I think its ceiling was higher than JJK. but it wasn't as consistently high as JJK. Yeah.
Also, I almost just struggle to even consider One Piece because it's just so like proliferate. They should just give it its own award every year, so it's not like constantly jamming up these sections. But I mean, Wano is an interesting arc, certainly. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of interesting fights and stuff like that. But I mean, every arc has good fights in One Piece. So it's almost like how, I mean, I'm not saying like, oh, how many times can we see good fights from One Piece? Like it's going to be there.
It's a very unique place for One Piece to be in an anime award scenario.
Yeah, One Police as well.
One Police, that's what I said. But it's a yearly award show for something that's been going on for 20 plus years.
Right.
So like you almost have to evaluate its 1/20th of the show in some of these categories, right?
I mean, it certainly can hold its own, certainly.
Right,
but
right.
I am going to choose Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 for this.
I think that is the right choice, in my opinion. Next up, Best Comedy. Bocchi the Rock, Buddy Daddies, Mashle, Spy X Family, Season 1, Core 2, Yuasa Yatsura, and Zom 100, Bucket List of the Dead. This one was tougher than I thought, because I genuinely think the slapstick nature of Mashle is really good. But I personally, I'm going to go with Buddy Daddies. Buddy Daddies is fucking hilarious. Like, one of those ones that actually, and I can count maybe on two hands, the amount of anime that make me laugh by myself out loud. Buddy Daddies did that. Mashle got some like chuckles, like heavy nose breathes, like, yeah. That's pretty funny. But Buddy Daddies, I was like, holy shit, that's good. So yeah, I really liked the way that Buddy Daddies sold their comedy. And it didn't get the best, I think it was drama or something like that, or an earlier one. But for best comedy, Buddy Daddy squarely takes it for me.
Yeah, so this is actually a tough category because none of these like really made me laugh that much.
No one got your gander, no one made you giggle.
There was definitely shows that I've watched this season that were much funnier. I actually think, even though it's not really trying to be, Eminence in the Shadow, I think, is funnier in a lot of cases than a lot of these shows.
Yeah.
And it's almost like because it's not trying to be is the reason that it was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Spy Family, but I don't feel good about it.
That's okay for you to do that. I imagine there's someone in the Academy who also felt the same way. They're just like, you know what? It's too close. I don't feel good about this pick, but it's the one that makes the most sense. All right. On you, buddy.
Yeah. So best romance, Horimiya, The Missing Pieces, Insomniacs, After School, My Happy Marriage, My Love Story with Yamada-kun, Skip and Loafer, and then Toma Chan is a Girl.
How many of these did you watch?
Exactly one.
I've seen three of these.
I saw enough clips from Tomo-chan that I'm still choosing that.
That's one of, Tomo-chan is a Girl. I saw all of it, and fun, good, romance is not exactly our kind of our bag, but you know exactly which one I'm going with for this category. It's
Insomniacs,
not even
After School.
No.
My Love Story with Yamada-kun.
How did you know? Horimiya, The Missing Pieces. Horimiya was the best romance of this year. I will die on that hill.
Horimiya, yes. Missing Pieces was just like the interstitial shit.
I wonder if they're grouping this. I'm not sure why the missing... Because wasn't The Missing Pieces supposed to be like an anthology of like the stuff in the middle that they didn't show?
Correct.
Yeah. So
that's why I'm not choosing it.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that they're talking about Horimiya.
They're not.
They're literally talking about The Missing Pieces, not Horimiya?
I think Horimiya came out in 2016. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I take that back. I'm going to go ahead and say Toma-chan is a Girl. I really enjoyed it.
An interesting entry.
Yeah. Toma-chan is a Girl. It's really, really fun. And Insomniacs After School, I wasn't there for the romance. And even if the romance is good, it's very quality, it wasn't why I remained. I remained for the cozy vibes and the slice of life elements of it.
I hear you.
Yeah. Toma-chan is a Girl, definitely there for that romance. Super fun.
Okay, moving on.
Yep. Best art direction. Now, this is just, I think, from pure, not even animation standpoint, but just visuals, because we have an animation category later. Best art direction. Chainsaw Man, Demon Slayer, Hell's Paradise, JJK, Oshinoko, and Zom 100. I'm going to go with Zom 100 on this one, buddy. I think the choices they made in the visual designs and stuff, and the way that they kind of had all the blood be rainbow, is like a great tie-in to the philosophy of the show, where it's like all these people are having like a grand old fucking time during the zombie apocalypse. What others would see as like corrosive red blood scattering this hellscape, they see as a fucking, or at least our main character Akira is just having a good fucking time, dude. You're just absolutely clapping around.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to throw in there. I think JJK gets an honorable mention. I think the art was really good this season.
Yeah.
I think Oshinoko does have some like really bright spots as well. But for me, the answer is Hell's Paradise. And it's just because like it's just like such an interesting artistically world that you're dropped into.
I think probably of these in this category could have some of the best background art.
Right. Yeah. And like the island you're on, the location you're at. It's just like there was not a show that was as invested in like giving you the heebie-jeebies, but also make it really beautiful. It was just such a weird kind of line to toe.
It's like they found a way to make it, you know, you've heard the phrase hauntingly beautiful, but
Uncanny Valley.
It's kind of an Uncanny Valley energy where it's just like, everything here is so pretty to look at, but there's something so harrowing about looking at it, you know?
Right.
That's a good pick. I agree with that. Next up, that'd be best cinematography. Is that your turn? I don't know.
It is.
We're going so fast, I can't even tell whose turn
now
is
my
anymore.
Turn. Best cinematography.
What? Excuse me, run that back?
Yeah, cinematography.
Okay.
Attack on Titan, who cares?
Yep.
Chainsaw Man. Jimon Shleya Kimetsu no Yaiba.
There you go.
Heavenly nice. Delusion, Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, and Vinland Saga Season 2. So cinematography-wise, I'm going to give honorable mentions to both JJK and Vinland Saga Season 2.
Okay.
But I absolutely loved Heavenly Delusion from a cinematography specifically case.
Fuck, this was so close because I sat on Heavenly Delusion for this one. I think it's got to be Chainsaw Man.
Oh no,
it's Chainsaw Man.
It looks so bad.
The way it was shot
looks
was
like
so
a toddler
fucking,
made it.
There's no. You will get. You can be over there and get fucking flame ward, man.
A toddler made Chainsaw Man. We all know it.
The way that a Chainsaw Man was shot, like from like a cinematography standpoint, literally the category is so fucking masterful that it felt Scorsese-esque. It felt like some director who was experienced at live action came in and gave really good critique and notes and stuff like that. So it's clearly was a love letter to live action film study, and it shows 100%. Now, next up, best director. I don't know a lot of directors.
Yeah, I don't either, but I think you just got to like, which show had the most interesting moves?
Yeah, who had the best, I don't know, vision for making it a motion picture of sorts? Yuichiro Hayashi. I'm going to have to read a bunch of these names, aren't I? All right, I'm cutting this too.
Yuichiro Hayashi.
Yeah, Attack on Titan. Kichiro Saito. Bocchi the Rock, Ru Nakayama, Chainsaw Man, Hirotaka Mori, Heavenly Delusion, Shota Goshozono, Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2, and Daisuke Hiramaki, Oshinoko. I am going to actually, from a director's standpoint, I think I might go with Oshinoko because of like the decisions that a director would have to make and the output of the product. I think Oshinoko was extremely well directed.
Okay, I'm going to choose Bocchi the Rock. I thought it was well done. I just wasn't necessarily a humongo fan of the specific product.
Gotcha. Okay, fair enough.
Best character design.
Okay, now we're getting to some bangers right now. Okay.
Chainsaw Man, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba, Hell's Paradise, Jujutsu Kaisen, Oshinoko and Trigun Stampede.
Oh boy.
So I have a couple issues.
Okay.
Trigun Stampede essentially is a redux of stuff that's already happened.
Yes, that is fair.
I feel bad about picking that because that was something from 2000.
I would argue against that, saying that a lot of the character design choices between the OG and Stampede were different and deliberate. Like, there's clearly a different design for Vash and Knives and a lot of the characters there.
I agree with you. I'm just saying it does feel like tread upon water a little bit.
Heard. Okay, fair enough.
So I'm not going to pick that as what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
Jujutsu is always kind of funky because they have so many of the, like, spirits or whatever.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah.
I think Oshinoko is pretty, like, straightforward.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Chainsaw Man, also really funky.
That, some of the demon design in Chainsaw Man is fucking gnarly as hell.
Actually, TBH, Jujutsu Kaisen, Hell's Paradise, Demon Slayer, and Chainsaw Man all have pretty funky shit in them.
They got all funky shit.
I'm going to be choosing this time. I think I'm actually going to choose Demon Slayer.
I'm also going to choose Demon Slayer.
Oh, that's not
I was going to say, it's animation that I think, Ufotable's signature on animation, we'll get to that in a second, but is great, but it's a bit of an old note. They're not really trying a lot of new shit because their formula is so clean. But when it comes to the character designs, those from all angles, side character, heroes, demons, all of them, so fucking gnarly, so fun to watch. Iconic is really the word I'm looking for, because I can remember every design of every character in Demon Slayer. I'm not sure I can say the same for all the other ones. And if I can, it's because they are simple and clean. But Demon Slayer is both funky.
That's a really
and
good point.
Yeah, Demon Slayer is both funky and clean, so I'm into it. All right.
We're getting toward the end here.
We're getting toward the end. We only have six. There are a lot of categories, but we'll fucking get through it, dude.
Should move a little bit quicker.
How do we move any quicker? We're going so fast, dude. This category, my personal favorite, best animation, Attack on Titan, Chainsaw Man, Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen, Mob Psycho, and Trigun Stampede. All right, dude. I'm not just fanboying.
You are. Okay, Mob Psycho 100.
Mob
here it goes.
Psycho 100 Part 3 is some of the cleanest off-model animation to ever be made, fucking period. Done. Like we're not... this could be an all-timer anime of the all-time, and it could be up there in best animation. That's I'll die on that hill, dude.
I'm just glad you didn't choose Chainsaw Man.
Nah, it was clean, but it wasn't, you know.
So I struggle here because while Demon Slayer is very well done, it is very similar to everything they've ever done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no real, I would say, differentiator between season 1, 2, or 3 of Demon Slayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, JJK, I think, did step up a little bit in season 2 with the entire Shibuya arc.
There were some techniques that they did, and there's some cleanness used, yeah.
Well, even like just the full-on animation of the fights, I thought was better for sure in season 2.
Okay. There are some fights that I would 100% agree with.
Plus Mei swinging them hips.
There it is.
What else am I supposed to do?
Okay, hold on. You do make a really good point.
Like, what else am I supposed to do?
She walks so powerfully, it became a meme.
I mean, she's a baddie, a bad bitch.
She
knows
is an
it.
Absolute bad bitch.
JJK, season 2 for me.
Fair enough. Okay.
This was an interesting category.
This is an interesting category. This is on you now. I did the last one.
Okay, that's fair. Best original anime. Akiba Maid War, Birdie Wing, Golf Girls Story, season 2, Buddy Daddies, Do It Yourself, Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury, and The Marginal Service. I unfortunately have only watched Akiba Maid War, Birdie Wing, and that's it.
I've seen 3 of these. I have not seen The Marginal Service.
I have actually never heard of it.
And I've heard of it. Someone in the Discord mentioned it, and I kind of want to start it now. I was going to say Akiba Maid War, but I already said Buddy Daddies, and we're talking about best original. I really fucking like Birdie Wing. And I've seen both seasons.
It is good.
It's really, really good. it's the Blue Lock of golf, essentially. It's very weird.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with that too.
I'm into it. That's what I want. That's the one that I like. Okay. Best film: Black Clover, Sword of the Wizard King, Blue Giant, Kaguyama, Love is War, The First Kiss That Never Ends, Psycho Pass Providence, Suzume, and The First Slam Dunk. I don't know if I can really speak to this category.
Neither. So I have only seen one of them, and that would be
the one we saw together. Yeah.
the Black Clover movie.
And it's a bit criminal that from what I've seen from the other IPs on this list, Black Clover should not be invited to this fucking party. It was fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think it belongs in a category of best films.
I think the answer probably, like, realistically is Suzume, but I never saw it, so I like can't even really weigh in.
I think what it's going to be for me is the one that I say here I have to watch, and I'm going to say Suzume, because it just seems to show up enough in these nominations to be worth my time. So by sheer numbers game, Suzume takes that one for me. It's just,
that's definitely one way to do it.
I just saw it in other categories enough that it must be good, right?
Best new series.
Yeah.
Bocchi the Rock, Chainsaw Man, Heavenly Delusion, Hell's Paradise, Oshinoko, and Zom 100 Bucket List of the Dead. I think this is an interesting category where you should really think about which do you like absolutely want to see a season two of?
Ooh.
Right? That's to me what this means.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, I don't particularly care about Oshinoko.
Yeah, I think it was super fun to watch it up top, but if you told me season two is canceled, I'd be like, all right, that's the way I'm looking at it. Which of these would I be the most sad about if season two was canceled? And for me, I think it might be Zom 100. I don't know if that's a recency bias thing, but I was thinking of these, like, I want to see the squad get their shit. Hell, maybe even save the world. Yeah, like, there's so many threads.
I'm definitely down between that and Heavenly Delusion.
Yeah.
Personally, Hell's Paradise, while it was a beautiful, kind of like weird look, I don't honestly give a shit about the story.
If you told me, hey, season two is airing now, I mean, like, I'll put it in the rotation.
Right, but I just, like, if they also told me it's canceled and never coming back, I'd have been like, eh.
I'd be G-dang. Oh, gosh darn.
G-darn.
G-darn.
I also did not like Chainsaw Man, as we've established aggressively,
yeah,
so
Jesus.
I couldn't care less. And then Bocchi the Rock, I think for what it was, like, I think that could be a standalone and never come back. If they show me the rise and it gets more interesting and she gets, like, less Comey-esque, then I potentially could like a season two better than a season one.
I think that is the natural progression of a character like Katori.
Right.
Like, be less Comey. And she's like, bet. That's the whole game, man. I'm trying real hard. Comey doesn't seem like she's trying terribly hard when I watched it, because she found someone that can relate to her.
Right. I do.
Yeah.
I really did like Heavenly Delusion, and I do want to know where this is going, but I agree with you. I think that Zom 100 is the more interesting season two.
There's a lot of threads, and I just want to see the gang.
Tie that stinking thread up.
Yeah, dude.
We only got Beatrix for like a couple episodes.
I want more of the samurai German baddie.
Yes.
So, second to last category. Best continuing series: Attack on Titan, which I think it's a bit aggressive to call it continuing. It barely continues.
More like it continues forever.
There it is. Yeah. Demon Slayer. Okay. Jujutsu Kaisen, One Piece, Spy X Family, Vinland Saga. We're going to, like, again, this sounds like a broken record. Here, though, I'm going to say One Piece.
Same.
Not because of it's been continuing for fucking ever. But I'm going to say, because it got a live action adaptation that I think is going to be a linchpin for others attempting the same going forward this past year.
Interesting. That's not why I gave it that. I would give it the win because Wano was great.
Whoa. Yeah.
From an arc standpoint.
Yeah.
And if they continue to drop absolute banger arcs, like, I mean, this is the only category that I even feel comfortable voting for it, because it is a continuing series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really the definition of it. So that's what I'm going with, and I don't feel bad about it.
You shouldn't feel bad, my guy, because we are at the end. We sped through like a fucking bullet train, but we are at
anime of the year. Would you like to read the contenders?
Sure. Bocchi the Rock, Chainsaw Man, Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Swordsmith Village Arc.
That was so
musical. Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2.
You can stop now.
Oshinoko.
Okay. All right.
And Vinland Saga Season 2.
This one's hard, dude.
I actually think these are just bad picks.
These are
general.
Not the best picks.
I think our top five was better.
Yeah.
And remains better to this day.
I think we should be on this panel.
We could potentially.
Honestly, we could potentially be on this panel, dude. I think they're definitely going off of like viewership. Anime of the year in the context like this is like accessibility. What means the most to the most? Does that make sense? Like how far reaching can the show be? And it sounds like I'm leaning Bocchi the Rock. And part of me wants to feel that way. It might have to be JJK season 2 as a whole.
I think it is for me too, which is crazy because
it won best action for one of us and it got here and there, but like now we got to think whole package, dude.
Right. And like unfortunately the season was just an absolute ripper.
It was like elite.
To get the flashback, see the old school stuff and then to get just like potentially the most hype shit of all time in like one little season. I think you really got to give it a lot of like props. I of course would have chosen many shows over the ones that are listed here, right? That was only an honorable mention on my top five list, if you recall.
Yeah, it was both of ours. Yeah, it didn't even make my top five.
Right, but since that's not like how this works, yeah. I'm gonna choose that.
So, I'm also choosing that because the cost of making this, there were animators that were stretched to their fucking mental and physical limit to put this out. And even though there was people walking out, there were striking, like the strikes don't happen in Japan, but there was just a lot of strife. And in the midst of that, you had a team of animators putting their fucking 110%, going Ultra Instinct beyond their limits to send us a show of that quality. You had people who cared so much, they went on Twitter to apologize for a single animation mistake in one of the most beautifully animated episodes of the entire year. And that was a 17-year-old kid who apologized for a contingency.
He probably should apologize. And honestly, I'm surprised they didn't anthrax him.
Well, we haven't heard from him on Twitter since, frankly. So,
oh my God, I take it back.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to JJK season 2.
And I'm implicated. Oh no.
Yeah. So we will find out about the results on March 2nd in a live event. But that is our personal picks and, I guess, predictions of the anime of the anime awards and all the categories they're in. I don't know. I guess after we like went through all the categories, it felt like there's a bit of like a raid of, like we said, like 8 to 10 that just kind of sweep.
Yeah, it'd be really nice to get some more stuff on there. Imagine Overtake is on one of these lists.
You notice there was no sports anime category. There's other ways.
Category,
they,
yeah.
Yeah, they need to have more varied categories because that's one thing that actually gets my goat, that grinds my gears the most.
It gets my gander.
Yeah, is that it's this kind of award show needs to evolve with how expansive the genre has become. They added only one new category this year, and that's best cinematography. If I read that right, and someone could probably, and maybe some VA ones we didn't look at, but I think there really needs to be an overhaul of a larger swath of potential categories that shows can hit, because Overtake not getting a single even nom, that's not cool. Like, to me, that doesn't fly. Well, also the fact it didn't come out in the time frame, that's fair. So it may get some noms in 2024, because October 2022 to September 2023 is the time period.
Okay. Yeah. I do think they should institute potentially a rule where you can't be nominated more than twice, perhaps. And that would allow for a lot more to get filtered into the list.
I like twice, because I think some people should get known for more awards. Maybe three. There's a lot of categories.
But I just mean for like an IP.
Okay.
Like a person's a different story. Like you could, here's how I view it. You could be nominated Heavenly Delusion twice, and then the director is a separate thing altogether.
Sure, fair enough. You're literally not the same entry. It's
right.
It's the person, not the show. So there's a couple of ways they can make this better, and hopefully,
you know, next year when we're part of the squad,
yeah,
part
we
of the
will,
judges, we'll voice our opinions.
They will hear our emails. That the last one I sent to them was very strongly worded.
It was scathing.
It was a little problematic, frankly.
Honestly, I'm not thinking we will be part of the judging squad because you did threaten their whole families.
There were bribes mixed in, though.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, you know, really kind of keep them on their mental
toes. We'll
kill
all your children, but we'll give you $100,000 each.
It doesn't have to go that way, and you get money. That's up to you guys.
So, but
thank you.
Thank
everyone.
You. But quickly, yes. Solo Leveling check-in.
Yeah, Solo Leveling check-in.
Episode 2, 3, and 4.
They are really stepping up the bag. The animation is incredible. And I went back and I'm starting to read it again with what we see to see how like closely it ties up. They are doing a pretty commendable job of lining up
that shit,
you know?
I do think it's funny. Like, I did read the effing piss out of it, but even just like watching it, I'm like, I don't remember that at all.
I almost feel nostalgic because I do remember reading that.
I just remember like the instance dungeon. Gosh.
The instance dungeon?
My nose is a little stuffy, so I feel like I'm not able to like fully enunciate words for some reason
you
right now.
Pretty good for this long app then, honestly.
Anyway, so the instance dungeon, I had like completely forgot like what the whole point of it was, really. Like, I forgot when stuff starts really happening, which is great for you guys at home, is like stuff hasn't really started happening yet.
And it won't for a hot minute. I don't think we might get a glimpse of it at the end of season one. Maybe.
I think that it will precipitate quickly after this point.
Well, yeah. Well, I think we get let into the hunter side of the world in the early part, like in the first third. But the second third, we get more about the gates.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Certainly.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, is that I think there's going to be enough in this first season, by the way it's paced, that I think it's going to build enough the world that the world we live in is going to be hooked.
Well, like, I just think our guy is going to actually start skyrocketing on level relatively soon here.
Do you find that that's going to be maybe potentially jarring pacing? That's the one thing I'm kind of worried about, is how do you, in a comic, you can just have him next panel, like 3 days from now. It's like, oh, he's this level now. But like maybe in an animated format, it can get a little dicey pacing-wise.
I think they did a great job with episode 4 showing that, like, if you just go on a slaughter fest, you can really up your level quickly.
They established that is going to be a thing in this show.
What I think they have done a poor job about was showing, like, okay, my 42 strength is equal to X.
I don't think he has... I think later he gets a much more granular idea of that.
I understand that, but I just feel like reading it was fine because you're really used to that kind of system.
And they would just show his specs every once in a while. Right. And he walked into a room and it would show like the head of the hunters group. And then he would have his specs next to him. And then it would show Sung and it would be his specs. He'd be like, oh, Sung he's walking into this with all of the army, like the ammunition.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm hyped for that
sure. Yeah, I don't necessarily blame them for that. It's just like, I think with the medium switch, you need to tell a little bit more than you were able to show. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, because you can do both on the same panel.
Right.
You can show and tell at the same time. But with an animated series and on television, you gotta choose sometimes.
Show me.
Yeah. Or just put his fucking specs up.
Tell
do the same
me
thing.
Why.
Ain't nothing but a dagger.
Love it. I wish season or episode 1 had ended with the beginning of season 2. Just
episode
because
2.
I think that would have been an insane hook.
Yeah. They needed to put the smile there. That was a misplay for sure.
I mean, the smile is the hook for really the rest of the show.
It's really fucking good.
as dumb as that sounds, it's actually true.
And if you want to know why, go read it or stay fucking tuned.
Or
dude.
We had one episode about it a long time ago.
Like a long time ago. Yeah. You can go listen to that. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for coming to class.
Yep.
This was a fun one. This is one where we didn't have to do a ton of work, which is great.
And it still generated a shit ton of just sheer minutes.
Yeah, baby.
Of content. But if you would like to talk about what you think is going to be the outcome of the Anime Awards, patreon.com/ubology, $1 and up, get you into the Patreon with all the lovely guests and our Patreon folk. And if you want, like, comment, subscribe, see any of our past episodes, or peek a little bit of our merch, y'all, ubology.com. Everything is there. We condense it all, so I don't have to do these fucking long outros anymore. But that's it. That's all we got. But I'm going to go upstairs and edit, and then I'm gonna hopefully order 3 more stuffed crust pizzas, because I think that I just
you have
need,
absolutely I just need lost more, the lead, brother.
I just need more pizza. But until I can get myself full circle back on track with my eating, I'm Ricky.
And I'm Pizza Hut. Oh, no, you got me doing it.
Deuces. Can I get triple stuffed crust, please, dude?
Yeah.
Triple stuffed crust?
I'm Pizza Hut.
You are Pizza Hut.